Yay!
Fabulous Elementary Outrageous Scott Brennan and Punctual Toby Sullivan. And how, it's been going for a couple of weeks now, girls. What do you think of the song?
Oh, our new theme tune.
Isn't it awesome?
It's terrific, isn't it?
Awesome.
Oh my God, I love it. It was written specially for us.
Especially for us by someone who had a fever dream, I think.
Yes. It was written by the lovely Wally Gunn.
Wally Gunn.
Australian composer working in New York at the moment.
Isn't he like studying at some, having his master's or something?
Yeah, doctorate, I think, at Princeton.
Doctorate at Princeton.
In composition.
Really?
In musical composition.
Doctor yeah. Music?
Yep.
Dr. I thought you were going to say he was studying advanced certificate and wearing leggings at Juilliard.
So, yeah, he's studying for a doctorate in music at Princeton University. One of the
Is he wasting his valuable time?
Well, this is
writing jingles for audio porn.
He wrote it in his sleep. I got a message from.
Are you kidding? We do this in our sleep.
Yeah. Wow.
We should explain that Wally, once upon a time, did Scott up the pooper. More than once.
We went to, we were boyfriends.
Yeah, for a year and a bit,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a difference. Everyone's done Scott up the pooper.
Yeah. Yeah, let's make a distinction here, please.
There's a big distinction.
I'm not saying he didn't do me up the pooper, but we had a name for each other and that was boyfriend. Yes, but lovely Wally.
Right, so that's why. Right. That explains
yes,
it.
Yes, but yeah, he sent me a message saying, I woke up singing this song in my head and it sounded really familiar.
this cheap sleazy
ass. And he said it was only when he got to the chorus that he realised he'd written a theme song for Talking Puffy in his sleep.
This is how brilliant the man is.
Yes.
Write songs in his sleep.
I really love it because it's exciting and sort of goes somewhere and tells a story, but it's disappointing because when it finishes, then it's just us.
Yeah.
So it kind of... But then we play it again at the end and you forget all the self-indulgent shit that has come before. And you just go, oh, this song's on again.
I like this song.
Do you know what it's like? Do you know what it's like when you see a TV ad and you really like the jingle?
Yeah. Yes.
And then you go, what song is that? I'm totally going to download that song. And so you find, you just go, oh, it's just an ad song.
Oh.
Although you could download a Feist album and you would be not mistaken for thinking that, because that Master Foods one is a Feist song.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And the Apple, the iTunes one, the 1, 2, 3, 4, like seriously, a Feist album is a collection of future radio jingles.
Wow.
Yeah, they're awesome.
It's like that Moby album that every song got licensed for endorsements. Every single one.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a song that it's only a Melbourne song? I don't think they played interstate because I haven't heard it. But often I'll be walking along the street because I'll see this number and I'll go, oh no, now it's going to be stuck in my head. 131-008, silver top taxis, why wait? 131. And it just goes for hours in my head and it jams in there.
Yeah. I've spent many mornings doing the housework, just vacuuming. Do, 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 internet that flies. I love Dota. Mike Brady. Common Link, Mike Brady.
Mike Brady.
Oh, wow.
He's the master. He's the master. Brady is my number.
After Eurovision.
I get that jingle stuck in my head. Oh, it's just awful.
That is actually Justin Bieber's song.
Oh, that's a real song.
It's not. It's for real estate or something, isn't it? It's an accountancy firm.
I think it's a jingle for hormone retardants.
Yeah.
I think there's some chemical company that uses that to advertise castration.
It's a jingle for Usher's legitimacy of kiddie porn. Oh.
What were you saying the other day about Bieber on Letterman?
Oh, he was on. He was totally on Letterman. I probably got it in the system considering we're at my work. He was on Letterman and there was something he didn't know what it was. Because he's been flogging his...
Has he got a new record?
He's a teenager. What's he been flogging, Adam?
He's been flogging his... what do you call it? His Christmas album.
And
he's got a Christmas album and he's been wearing an amusing, ironic cardigan on the TV on any station that'll have him.
And
that's a double threat, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bieber Christmas.
Wow.
So, yeah.
He's Canadian. Do they have Christmas?
I think maybe just in, like, the provinces that aren't French.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, so he's been on every... Like, he was on the Today Show and forgot the lyrics to Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Oh.
And I'm like, surely it's not that long ago he sang that and meant it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty new song. Strange lyrics.
Yeah, very strange lyrics. So I think, I don't know if this is it, where he was talking to David Letterman and there's a word that he'd got wrong.
I'm 17, but I mean, it's going to happen. You know, being in this, you know, in the spotlight.
People can say or do anything they want.
People can say whatever.
And you were man enough from the beginning. You said, oh, yeah, that's not true. And I'll take one of those DNA tests.
Yeah.
Did you take one of those things?
Yeah, I took
How do they do that? What's the procedure? Are you unconscious?
They just swab your mouth.
So you're not unconscious?
No.
Is there disrobing?
What?
Disrobing?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, okay.
He has no idea what disrobing means.
He doesn't know what disrobing means.
Maybe he thought it was disrobing. Is there disrobing? What robe? What?
Disrobing or dat-robing?
Dat-robing.
Disrobing, Justin, is when on a Saturday night when Usher just kicks back.
Invites you round, pop in the spa.
Says, hey, Bieber, why did you say we put on Hannah Montana and you have one of your special drinks? Just kick back like bros do. You know
that Coca-Cola that smells bad. Mm.
Like that. Oh, you little Abby pedo, Usher.
How endearing.
Usher's only about the same size as a 12-year-old anyway.
There you go.
I wish I was 12. I'd totally root Usher.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. He's like, he looks short. Like, yeah, I think he's like 4'1". He would need a stepladder to get to your folded anus.
Folded? It's got an elastic band around it. It's got one of those bread tie things, those plastic.
It needs a drawstring put in it, love. His anus is so distended and sloppy now that someone that he fucked has turned to women.
I saw the text message, but I don't believe it.
Well, yeah, I don't want to name names because it's their business to come out of the straight closet.
But someone we know.
Someone we know that's got rooted at the end of one of our anecdotes.
Yeah.
Or our fanecdotes.
Fanecdotes.
Which rules out exactly nobody.
Yeah. Which is where someone ends up fucking Scott. Someone from one of our fanecdotes who Scott rooted after a particularly heinous night where we were all sitting around going, one of us is going to have to fuck him. has now discovered a love for pussy.
Yeah.
Because of the lack of sensation he felt while fucking Scott in the air.
No, that's not true. He did feel a sensation. That sensation was revulsion.
Yeah. Regret, I think.
So is it real?
His regret around the corner. Yeah.
He really came out
to me the other day and said, I'm getting married to a woman next year.
So it's not like one of these weird immigration scams or...
No. He said, I'm coming. I want to come out. I'm getting married next year. And I thought, yeah, good on. You're going to Amsterdam, whatever. Or Brazil or wherever you can get married these days.
How does that even work?
And then he said, to a woman. And he goes, I'm actually straight now.
Wow.
I have never heard of that happening. Why would you, if you thought you were straight, why would you go to all the trouble of coming out?
Why would you be gay to start with and then go, I know, this is the world we live in now.
This is crazy.
And he lives in Sydney, so maybe it's just normal to be gay.
Yeah.
And now all these straight people are coming out of the closet and going...
Everyone's a little bit gay in Sydney.
You know,
I've just realised I'm not actually gay. I just grew up in Darlinghurst.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, the only sausage I like is the one outside Bunnings. Like,
hey. No, he's not a lesbian.
Scott, you turned someone straight with your distinct.
Well, it can't have just been me. This was years ago.
18 months is not years ago.
Was it 18 months ago?
Yeah, it was before our first podcast.
It must be very strange, though. It must be very strange feeling. Going, yeah. I think, how do I tell people?
Well, yeah, after like, all this.
Can you, like, it must be worse than coming out, like, in this day and age, like, it's easier to come out gay in many circumstances.
Many, yes.
Not always. Some. But can you imagine going to Stonewall and just saying, Claire Delune, I have something I want to tell you.
Yes.
I like girls.
Yeah.
You can just imagine the DJ, stop calling.
What?
What did he just say?
Oh, this one's for Darren. Left my heart to the separate location.
I want you to hand in your badge and your sling.
And your sling backs.
Yeah,
sling backs. You are out of the club.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is.
Extraordinary. I know, I've heard about it happening in the acting fraternity. Because a lot of actors, you know, kind of
just
dance,
assume.
Dance just kind of, on the wrong side of the line.
Yes.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
Musical theatre stars who suddenly decide they want to have a kid and aren't opposed to
it. But I mean, there's a difference between that and saying, oh, I'm actually straight.
Yeah, like he kind of came out and said, the weird thing was, I was the only one there he knew, like from a previous.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Like everyone else in the group were like, you know, this is some friend of mine, and he's just stood up and said it to the group.
Oh, did he?
Wow.
That was nice. He felt comfortable enough with us to say that.
Yeah.
One of the people being Debbie Lee, the executive producer of my TV show from the ABC.
Wow.
So he's never going to fuck a dude again.
I guess not.
Well, yeah, he said I'm straight. He didn't say I'm bi and I've fallen in love with a woman.
No, he said I'm straight.
Wow.
Wow.
I know.
That's a big,
wow.
To jump one way and then jump the other.
And to make, you know, huge, big statements like that. Like,
yeah.
Man, when he says straight acting on Grindr, he backs it up.
Yeah. Good to hear.
He lives the part. Wow.
So, we should, look, in a future Poofcast,
we should have a chat to him.
We'll have a chat to him and see if he's prepared to come out to the rest of, you know, whoever.
And please, Mum, if you're listening, it's a one-off.
Yeah, okay.
It's a freak accident.
This is the exception rather than the rule.
Also, not normal.
He's like 24 or 25 or something. Like, he's still in, you know, he's still got yolk on him. He's not.
Yeah.
He's not entirely out of the shell.
So, I just find it surprising because it does take an effort to come out as gay than if you...
I think it's Sydney. I think it's easier to be gay in Sydney than it is to be straight.
It could be.
Well, maybe babies are born and the doctor says, congratulations, it's a homosexual.
Have you double-checked? Did you ask what his fiancé's name is? Phil.
Yeah. Claire de Lune.
No, he was really quite upfront about, you know, coming out as a straight man.
Wow.
Go on.
Who has a gay job. And has in the past, you know, done what his job needs him to do.
Stunning.
I know. Fantastic. Bless. Yeah. We'll have...
You've turned it, love. You've turned it.
Well, one of my many talents. I'm like a gay X-Men.
You're the other closet.
Yeah. I make them fuck me whether they want to or not.
Your ass is like the wardrobe in Narnia. You just don't know.
Totally.
There's a whole other world in there full of straight men.
Yeah. And trees.
And
Tilda Swinton.
I don't want Tilda Swinton in my ass.
How do you feel about fashion?
I'm nostalgic for the old days, you know, the shoulder pads, the big hair.
Talk poofy to me.
Spin the wheel.
Oh, you ready?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. We've got to have the theme song before we do the squeal of fortune.
All right.
Relentlessly shithouse.
It is. Like, it's so kind of, the recording of it is so bad, I can't actually identify any instruments in that.
Yeah.
It's just like, what is that? That could be anything.
It's just the game show a harmonia.
Yeah.
I just hear it and I'm just like, automatically, I'll have the Estelle cookware.
I used to...
The John Carandona's shoes. You got 400 left.
When they boned the choosing of the prizes, I was like, I'm not into this anymore.
That was the best bit.
That was the best
prizes.
Bit. There was slow pan across the shit collection
of
prizes.
While some house frau tossed up between the holiday and South Mole Island.
Yes. And the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah.
Can I tell you?
And you can just imagine her kids at home going, why did you choose Encyclopedia, Mum?
Can I tell you, the best job I've ever had in my life was I had to do a pilot for a game show on Channel 9 that Eddie McGuire was hosting. And the game show was like, what's behind door number one, door number two, door number three, blah, blah.
Let's make a deal.
Yes, that was it. But it never got up because I think it was up between that and Millionaire Hot Seat.
Right.
And so they went for Millionaire Hot Seat.
And but what was your role?
My role was, I was the voiceover guy.
Oh, really?
Gavin Wood.
I totally had to sit in the booth and
it's
go,
a new car.
Yeah, totally. Like, what's it? I'll have door number three. It's a jet ski. That's right. You'll be getting out and about on this new Kawasaki jet ski. And then I said, is that voice, you want me to do that voiceover? And they said, yeah. And I really had to, it's steak knives.
Yes, that's awesome.
Beautiful steak knives will have you cutting meat with your hands. And so I just had to sit in this tiny booth with this pile of scripts and just mention hilarious.
Thanks to Frank Walker Tiles.
Yeah, all of that Selangor pewter. it was mental. It was so much fun though. And I had one of those, you know, those moments when you go, what am I doing? How did I get here?
I worked on a game show.
You did Celebrity Squares.
Yeah, I worked on All Star Squares.
Yes.
Or because the level of celebrity was quite low, I used to call it Small Star Stairs. Because they had to walk up these little circular staircase to get into their booth.
Were you on air? No.
I just wrote questions.
You were writing for it. That's right. Hope was on air.
Kim Hope was on it.
Yes.
Toddy Goldsmith was a regular. Right. I remember writing an intro for her that was, because that was the worst thing. Like, they do 5 episodes a day.
So you're just a churn. So, stuff
for, like, once a week. And so the intro. Especially people who are on it ever. Like, so there'd be 5 intros.
Coming up with 5 things to say about Toddy Goldsmith.
Especially and all of them being good would be a real.
Well, this
stretch.
Was at the, like, you know, I think we're in, you know, week 12 or something. Yeah, so yeah, this yeah. was, you know, her 60th intro.
You didn't really notice her on the Henderson Kids, and here she is right now. Please welcome Toddy Goldsmith.
And, like, so Gavin Wood is sitting there reading out this script and goes,
she's the daughter of that guy who did the thing once. Please welcome Toddy Goldsmith.
It was all that glitters is not gold. Toddy Goldsmith.
Oh, wow.
Do you know Darren Casey?
Yeah. Right?
Heaven comedian, brilliant stand-up comedian. He had a job writing the insults for The Weakest Link.
Oh, hilarious fun.
He would write all of Cornelia France's insults. Oh. But they did it weirdly from memory. I might be making this up, but from memory they would do it while they were taping.
Yeah. They would have to come up.
So they would stop and, like, wait 20 minutes while he wrote,
oh my God,
5 nasty things for Cornelia Francis to say. Instead of writing it all in advance like a normal show would do, they would stop the taping.
Well, I guess they were hoping it would be, you know, it'd be a rise out of something that they'd gotten wrong or, you know, one of the bad answers.
Well, that never happened. It was just Cornelia Francis just going, Adrian, you are not Amazedrian this round.
You are the weakest link.
Goodbye.
What
happened to the weakest? The weakest link was very popular for like 9 months.
Yeah. It's still on in England. Like, it's still huge in the UK.
But it was huge here and then.
Yeah.
No.
And then I think
it's
still expensive.
Kind of part of the vernacular as well.
Yeah.
That, you know, that you are the weakest
still
link.
Part
is
of shared culture.
I did a pilot once with Cornelia Francis.
Really?
Cornelia and I and Kyle Sanderland's grandmother were judges on a panel, and the show was called Sideshow Alley, hosted by Kyle and Dylan.
Dylan Lewis.
Yeah.
So Kyle Sanderlands and Dylan Lewis.
Yeah, remember they were really good mates on Celebrity Big Brother?
Together at last.
Yeah.
Well, they were too.
Yeah, and they were like down to the last couple. And so, yeah, they were, it was decided they were, you know, the next big thing. Because Kyle was only the hot 30 dude. He wasn't Kyle we know and hate today.
He wasn't celebrity rapist, Kyle.
No.
He's not a rapist.
No.
He's not a rapist.
He just
that is going too
lot.
Far.
Yeah.
He just thinks rape is hilarious.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, yeah, it was them. And Cornelia and I and Kyle's nan had to judge. It was like red faces or...
Actually Kyle's nan.
Actually Kyle's nan.
What happens in TV?
Oh, man.
What do they do to you when you get a job in TV? And does it help or hinder? How did that get through it? You know how many meetings things have to get through?
Yes.
To get on screen. How did Kyle's nan get through all those meetings?
I've told you about the meeting we held at Rove.
Oh, the horse.
Oh, yeah, the horse. Gay
Scott,
horse
Scott
one.
And
yes.
I, the front and back of a horse, with Mother Horan, who was the our boofstery expert, who was the script editor at the time, and a producer, and there was some other poofter there. There was just a room full of homos.
Executive producer and a producer, I think.
Yeah, there's a room full of poofters, deciding what was going to be on primetime television on Channel 10.
Yeah.
And so by the end of the meeting, the horse had drop earrings, eyelashes, and a hat.
And lippy, I think.
All of which was organised. We thought we were joking. And we turn up and the horse has all of these things. And then at the end of this crazy poofy meeting, Paul Horan stands up and goes, right, well, let's all sing a round of I Am What I Am and call this meeting to a close.
It's amazing that anything good ever gets made.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
On TV. Yep.
I know.
Stunning.
And this was a pilot. For some reason, in the pilot, they decided Kyle's nan would be great TV talent. She was very sweet, which compared to me and Cornelia was good because I'd told some 12-year-old kid with red hair that watching him sing was like having salt and vinegar chips rubbed in my eye.
Where did they get the contestants from for a pilot? Were they genuine contestants?
They were genuine
like, often on a pilot, if you've got a contestant, you get like the makeup lady's kid conceived or something.
They were genuine contestants, and I was given very strict instructions because they weren't getting paid.
No.
And they were contestants that would go through to the show if it went to air, like if it became a show.
Right, right.
And they were all doing it out of the goodness of their heart that I couldn't make the child cry.
Right.
As was my want.
So they genuinely...
They weren't getting paid. They were just so desperate to be...
So they were just were genuinely trying.
Yeah,
there was an element of this could be their big break.
I didn't audition.
Little Jack Vigen was just like, I know it's a pilot, but I'm just going to have a crack.
This could be my big thing.
This could be my big thing.
I did an audition for Australia's Got Talent before the whole Kyle thing when it was red.
Right,
and I was for one of the judges. And they and so they had a girl sitting next to me pretending to be Danny Minogue. Weird.
Right.
But they had actual contestants. So I had a fake Danny Minogue.
That's fair enough because Danny Minogue is pretending to be Danny Minogue.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's quite realistic.
That's true. That's
fair
enough.
And actual contestants.
So, well, for your audition.
Yeah, for my audition as a judge, they had actual contestants that I could judge and be hideous to in the Channel 7 boardroom.
This is exactly what I mean about TV, right?
But fake Danny Minogue.
Was she inflatable?
Wrong.
Okay.
Everything I think is important is trivial.
Yeah.
And everything that is trivial, they elevate to the highest importance. Well, we'd better have real contestants, otherwise we'll have no idea what Adam Richard is really like.
Yeah.
I was horrendous.
Because you play your cards pretty close to your chest, I must say.
Yeah.
Oh, we better have we really need to see what he can do. Why can't you just sit there and just go say something nice, say something nasty, say something
saying to this old woman who had auditioned, like she came in and she had like tight black pants and a black and white striped top. And I was like, oh, are you a mime? And she goes, yes, I do, but I'm not miming today. I was like, oh, thank God. And so she proceeded to stand on her head and sing a song badly. And afterwards I was like, oh, I wish you'd mimed now.
But they can tell that you would do that just by looking at you.
Yeah.
Why do they need to test it with real contestants?
And then after that I said, the price on this show is $250,000. Like, what are you going to do with $250,000 with your standing on your head singing routine? And she goes, oh, just be good to have that kind of money. I went, that could start some kid's career. That could be someone's, launching place. And you are almost dead. So what do you need it for? And I think that's when they went, we might get Red Simons.
Yeah.
They'll go through all of that, right, testing you in this spurious thing, which is redundant because they know exactly what you're going to be like anyway.
Yeah.
And then they'll do something like they'll make the renovators and somehow cast four brooms with legs as the hosting talent. Did they not take...
Not just that, but the contestants were just as dull on the renovators.
Did they cast that fucking thing on Twitter? Like, if you're going to go to so much trouble to make something,
how do they get it? All their time working out whether or not they could get a house on the back of a truck into the studio. That was all they spent their time on.
That's what I mean.
That casting will take care of itself.
Yeah, it'll be easy.
Television
that was a disaster, show, wasn't it? That was a ratings disaster.
It was a rating, and it kept being on. Like, if that was a comedy show, like if that was Imagine Talking Puffy the TV show.
Oh, imagine.
That would be boned in the second week, and not in the way that we like.
No.
You know what? It was too big to fail. There was too much invested in it.
They spent too much money on it.
And I reckon Motti had probably lobbied it, like the boss had probably lobbied to be on there. And so no one's going to tell the boss it's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
It stays.
Well, that's like when I was on Celebrity Dog School.
And they still haven't officially boned it. The party line is still there.
It'll come back for another season.
But it's not in the season launch.
It was not
in
the launch.
It's not in the schedule.
Right, okay.
I think they're playing a game of renovate.
What?
No, there was never any.
No,
there was never any show called Renova. What?
That's like the ABC when a show's successful, they go, "Oh no, this is too many people are watching this.
We better take it off." Yeah,
like there was almost
ABC TV publicity.
There was almost no mention of Gruen Transfer or Gruen Planet. I was at the launch the other
week. Didn't want to bring that up.
Will was in the package briefly, and if you get the glossy book with everything that's coming this year, The Straits with Brian Cox and Rena Owen, and we've got Guy Pearce in this drama, and he's a comedy starring Josh Thomas, and there's returning shows. There's just a list of shows, and one of them just says Gruen, not Planet.
Oh wow,
not Transfer.
You know why?
You would be flying your flags, though, if really.
Unless they're just crossing their fingers it's going to be an election. They can do the Gruen
election.
It's
because they're communists and they hate success.
Yes.
Well, you know, the last episode of Gruen Planet was the number one show for the night. And they hate that at the ABC being the number one show for the night. That's against their charter, apparently.
In fairness, they seldom miss that goal.
This is true. This
they
is
seldom
true.
Have to deal with that bit of disappointment of making something someone actually wants to watch. No, actually, that's not true. That's not fair. Most successful formats start with the ABC and then jump the shark to Channel 7 where some fucking idiot in Sydney ruins it.
Yeah.
Yes. Isn't that... I just don't know. I know how television works, but I just don't know how the decisions are made.
The decisions are
in
made
television.
By committee.
Yes.
Like, they're made by... Also, the other thing to remember about commercial TV is that it's very heavy in middle management, and the job of middle management is to keep your job.
Yes.
And the way you keep your job is by not making controversial decisions.
Yes.
Or making decisions for the sake of it.
Or making decisions that save money.
Yes. Yes.
Like, by axing things saves money, therefore that's
good. You're good at your job.
The channel in the black and then everyone's happy.
But also, you know, you kind of have to remember that television shows are only made to make you watch the ads.
Yeah. And that's commercial TV.
Yeah, that's...
You're there trying to stop people changing channels during the commercials by making something that people want to see after the commercial.
Yeah.
They should just break into houses and steal remotes. It would be cheaper.
Yeah.
It would be cheaper. How many times have you been watching a piece of shit on television and the remote's been on the other side of the room and you just think, I'll just keep watching this. Just steal remotes. You don't need commissioning editors. Stephen Tate, retire. I've just made you redundant. Tim Warner, you can send the checks straight to me.
This has been the biggest failure of Squeal of Fortune.
Yeah,
we never actually spun the wheel.
We never spun the wheel.
Oh, shit. If we were Wheel of Fortune, we'd be axed by now. Imagine that. Imagine if you turned on Wheel of Fortune and it was just John Burgess and Adriana talking about rim jobs for half an hour.
I totally love that.
While three women stand next to him just going, when will it be out?
Shut up.
In a minute. Yeah. So anyway, Adriana, I was trussed up in the sleeve. And Adriana's going, yeah, well, I had a tear at the time.
Yeah. Do you want to do Amel Bird Joe?
Yeah! That would be amazing. I would watch that.
I would love that too.
I would definitely watch that.
Oh, Adriana, here's to absent friends.
Sausages, can you see my lovely sausages?
Talk poofy to me.
That was the Poofcast.
There it was.
I have nothing to say on that matter, frankly.
No, maybe we don't need to say anything.
All right.
I think everything that needed to be said was said during the Poofcast.
And probably a little bit too more.
More than that. And probably some fart noises. Maybe
no, there's more fart noises.
Oh, all right. One, just one.
No, it's not necessary. We're nearly finished.
No, come on.
We're nearly finished. Oh! That is workplace bullying. There'll be a man in an office somewhere who will fill out a report.
In the fart department.
In the fart department.
Of work, yes.
Not okay.
Not okay. Oh, Toby. Go into the toilet. We'll do some therapy.
Stop it! Oh, dear. Have I told you about the time? I think it was Alan Bro. Someone wanted to do a podcast of their show in the ABC. And they asked their producer, that was a really good episode. We should podcast that. And they've gone, yeah, you need to fill in a form for that 3 weeks prior.
Oh, what? 3 weeks prior.
Yeah.
Just in case you do something good. I'm going to do a good show in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I've got a good feeling. It's just building. I'm going to fill in that form.
Oh. ABC. I could podcast an ABC show from here right now. A big piece of this.
Yeah.
But
do you know what we should actually do one day? We should actually just do a live show that is just all fart noises.
Just 40 minutes.
Just think about
40
it.
40 minutes of fart noises.
Just think about it. I don't know what the audience would make of it, but we would really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just laughing at farts.
We would be rolling on the stage. Wheeling with laughter.
It would be amazing. We could get it funded.
Yep.
What is this? That cannot be a real thing.
Just press some buttons. Just press them.
Bombs away.
Oh. Yeah, well, that's almost like a fart joke.
That wasn't a fart. That was a tube. That was the end of a tube. That was a fart. That was, wow. Ah!
I'm not doing it.
You're not even doing it.
I'm not touching it. It's just happening.
Excuse I.
I love the sound of that one. That it doesn't seem like the sphincter kind of deals with it properly. It's not coping.
Only you would know what a sphincter can deal with.
Oh, wow. I could get my doctorate in it.
Just farts.
Just fart sounds. Well, we did a whole, episode of Where's Wes. Let's do a whole episode of fart sounds.
Just laughing at farts, talking poofy, laughing at farts. Fart laughs.
Oh, my God. Sorry, I've got a system.
Why are people... It's not necessarily people.
I told you I bumped into someone in Sydney. I was in the queue at Target buying this shirt.
Yeah.
And this kid goes, "You had a machine?" I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "This is your podcast."
Ah, wow.
And I went, "Oh, I'm so sorry." He goes, "No, it's awesome. It makes me not feel so dirty." He's like a 20-something twink. He's like, "I don't feel like such a slut when I listen to you guys."
Oh, so it's community service.
It's talking poofy lowering the bar so you don't have to.
Yes. Yeah.
Making rancid queens feel pretty. And chaste.
Yeah, we're happy to be the crash mat at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. Taking it for the team.
We're taking it for the team.
Yeah.
Talking all night, talking trash, talking trade, talking dirty. And-